Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, friends. My name is Dean Bobar. I'm the adult life minister here, and I am so excited to be sharing God's word this morning. How many of you have ever thought of your life as a story before? Think about it. There's beginnings, middles, and ends. There's different chapters to your life. There's settings, characters, events. There's a plot line with a complication or a conflict, maybe some heroes, some villains. In our Roots discipleship course a few times a year, one of the things I love doing is exploring with people how our little life stories make sense within God's big story of redemption. We talk about being rooted in God's story. It's one of the key parts of discipleship here at Christ Pacific. You see, as God's Spirit is at work in the brokenness of our lives, we discover through this story our identity and calling in Christ. What happens is God's redemption reframes our brokenness. God's redemption reframes our brokenness. And one of the aspects of my life that God has reframed for me is my parents' divorce. When I was about 10 years old, I began to hear my parents fighting a lot, and it got worse and worse. I had my room right here, then there was the living room and the kitchen and the garage, and my brother's rooms were on the other side of the house, and I could hear it, and it was just getting worse and worse. And eventually, when I was 13, they got a divorce. And looking back, my dad essentially abandoned us. He moved to the other side of the world, to Europe, to Romania, where he was from. And looking back, I realized that I only saw him 4 more times after that, for about a week to 2 weeks in each time. Either he would come here or we would go there. And we stayed in contact through calling and sending letters, but it wasn't quite the same. It might have actually been a different experience in this day and age, you know, with Skype and all those other stuff. But back then, it wasn't really there. Looking back, my experience has been that my father abandoned me and my 2 brothers. God has reframed this life-shaping event for me in light of the good news of adoption in Christ. Adoption is one of these images, these metaphors that God uses in the scriptures to portray to us what he has done through Christ and by the Spirit. In his book, Picturing the Gospel, Neil Livingston talks about adoption as one of these images for the gospel. He talks about a few different other ways. He talks about life, being born from above, the kingdom, justification, forgiveness, atonement, salvation, ransom and redemption, and freedom. And those are just some of the major ways. We could probably list off a dozen more different ways. But for me, this picture of adoption is so important and relevant. You see, what God's Spirit does through his word is he highlights the gospel so that we put our faith in Christ. He draws us to God the Father through himself. And this good news of adoption is what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're in this series, Life in the Spirit. We're nearing the end of it, and we're exploring the question, where is the Spirit at work? Where can we see the Spirit at work? Not, is the Spirit at work, or how might we get the Spirit to be at work, but where is God already at work by his Spirit? And today's answer is that the Spirit is at work to make us part of the family of God. The Spirit is at work to make us part of the family of God. And when I say make us part of the family of God, what I mean is, through the Spirit of adoption, we become part of the family that is God. We become part of the family that is God. I'm borrowing that language from Daryl Johnson, Pastor Peter's favorite preacher and professor that he has had. We become part of the family that is God. We're not only made together brothers and sisters in Christ. By the way, look around if you're a believer. These are your brothers and sisters. We're not only made family in that sense, but we're also become part of the family that is God. You see, from eternity, God the Father and God the Son have been in a son and father relationship, and the Spirit has been a part of that as well. And it's a mystery, we don't fully understand that, but we somehow get to participate in that family relationship in the Godhead, that kind of relationship, the family relationship that Jesus shares with the Father. Put another way, the Spirit leads us to have a relationship according to the Jesus model of relationship with God, the Jesus model for relationship with God. Paul says in verse 14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So in other words, to be a child of God is to be led by the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit leads us into what it means to be a son and daughter of God according to the model that Jesus shows us in the Scripture, the model that he has as being not only fully God, but also fully human in relationship with God the Father. Are you guys tracking there a little bit? Does that make sense? We're going into some deep waters here. I'm just like warning you ahead of time. This is a deeper message, but I think hopefully there's some handles that will help you go along for this wild ride. We're going to be talking about three things. We're going to be talking about the Father's affection in verse 15, the Spirit's assurance in verse 16, and the Son's afflictions in verse 17. And you might be thinking, great, Father's assurance or Father's affection, that's great. Spirit's assurance, that's awesome. Son's afflictions, I'm just going to be honest right up front. That's going to be a difficult part for the message. This isn't going to be something where you go, oh, yay. I mean, this is going to be a little bit difficult, but this is what the Scripture says, and it's part of the whole picture of what it means to be a child of God. But let's get started with the affection of the Father. The affection of the Father. Paul says in verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but the spirit of adoption as sons. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Why did Paul say sons in these first two verses and not children at first? Well, it's because in the ancient world, sons had more privileges and rights than daughters. And so in the world and culture of Paul, there is more meaning and significance to be a son of God than to be a daughter of God. And he goes on to say children of God, so he's including women in this. So women, you're not excluded. But in that culture, that's how they spoke. That's how they made sense of being a child of God. Sons had more rights and privileges. So while it's not quite a fit for our current culture, we need to hear what Paul is saying in his culture as we hear the message today. So the good news is that when we put our faith in Christ, we receive the spirit of adoption, not the spirit of slavery. We don't fall back into fear. Now, what fear is he talking about? It's the fear of God's judgment, because back in verse 1, Paul says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who have put their trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. None. So there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. When I first heard the gospel, to be honest, when I was 13 years old, several months after my parents got a divorce, I was up at the Forest Home Christian Camp in July 1993, and I remember hearing the gospel clearly for the first time, and I thought, I don't want to go to hell. That's where my faith started. And that's not necessarily a bad place. God takes us, meets us where we're at. But to be honest, where I was first starting, I was first more saying no to hell than saying yes to God. But in the ensuing months and years, God led me into this journey to see what this invitation of the gospel was all about. He showed me that he was inviting me into this loving relationship with God. You see, God the Father loves and accepts God the Son. And since I am in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit unites me with Christ, God the Father loves and accepts me too. And the same is true for you if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus. I love this illustration from Pastor Gary Watkins, our former lead pastor. He says that if you consider a book like the Bible to be Christ, and you consider the bookmark to be us, whatever is true of being in Christ, if we are in Christ, it is now true of us. And so Christ has become dead to sin, but alive to God in the resurrection. He's taken on the judgment for our sins and is now alive to God in this new resurrection life. So Jesus has taken on your sin and my sin so that we can be justified, made right before God, and know God as Father. This is the invitation of the gospel, to receive the loving affection of the Father, to share in that love that the Son and the Father have shared for eternity, and to reflect it to the rest of the world. That's good news, right? And I chose the word affection not just for alliteration purposes, because I love alliteration. If you've heard me preach and teach a while, if I can get some alliteration in there without messing around with the scriptures and theology, I'll do it. It's not just for the alliteration's sake, but I want you to hear that it's not just, it's active, sacrificial love, but it's also experiencing the warmth of God's embrace. Not just a mental assent, but an experience of the warmth of the love of God in our deep down in our being. From all eternity, God the Son and God the Father have shared this love by the Spirit. And God's Son became incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth, being both fully human and fully God. And he made known to us the Father, and through his redemptive death, life-giving resurrection, he reconciles us to God. But wait, there's more. He gives us his Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, so that we too can be made children of God. We're recreated to become children of God. Our sin had separated us from God, but he takes care of that and makes us children of God. Do you know in the scriptures what Jesus called God the Father? The answer is in this week's verses. Did he catch it? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Just before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed this in Mark's gospel as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Abba, Father, same two Greek words. All things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, the cup of the cross. Yet not what I will, but what you will. You see, he was being led by the Spirit, just like we are led by the Spirit in this model for relationship with God. So he says, yet not what I will, but what you will. Is there any other way? He calls him Abba, Father. And now we too, by the Spirit of adoption, are invited to experience, to become sons and daughters of God. This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus started off the Lord's Prayer with what words? Our Father in heaven. Notice he didn't say, my Father and your Father. But he said, our Father, because he's inviting us to experience that same kind of relationship. Now, it's not the exact same kind of thing in the sense of the same kind of deepness of intimacy in the sense of he's fully God and fully human, but it's the same kind of model. It's the same kind of security, love, and intimacy that we enter in that family relationship through Christ and by the Spirit. All right, just take a breath with me. That's a lot. I want us to begin to think of how it applies to us. Take a minute to consider your family of origin experience, the family you grew up in. All of us experience some brokenness in our family, some more than others. For me, it revolves around my parents' divorce and the ripples and waves of brokenness that came from that. What's been your experience? How has your family experience shaped who you are, shaped how you do life, shaped how you relate to other people? And how might God want to enter into that with the good news of adoption? Good news of him being your heavenly Father and bring healing and restoration. For me, he's entered in and given me security, said, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you like your earthly father did. Maybe you've had a bad experience with an earthly father, and God wants to meet you in that. Maybe you've had some hard, difficult experiences with siblings, and God says, I have some brothers and sisters in Christ for you, and they're going to do life differently. I want to bring healing into your life into that, because that's also part of the family of God. That's also part of this invitation. I want to encourage you this morning to make this gospel, this good news, yours, because we have to receive it and let God speak into us words of life and not just have it be out there, just a mental assent, a statement of faith that I sign off on. Make the gospel yours. Well, this begs the question, how do I know, like really know, that I've been adopted in Christ? And this is where the assurance of the Spirit comes into play. Paul says in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Notice the shift. He goes from sons of God to children of God. It's both for men and women, boys and girls. The assurance of the Spirit is in concert with our experience as children of God. The Spirit of adoption confirms for us what we already know and experience, that we are children of God. Have you ever had those kinds of experiences where God's Spirit comes on you and says, yes, yes, Jim, you are a child of God. Yes, Jeff, you are a child of God. Yes, Joyce, you are a child of God. Have you ever had those kinds of experiences where God confirms or deepens his love for you? When I first became a believer, I would sit in my bed and I would rest in the Spirit. I could feel God's Spirit hovering over me and giving me deep joy. I later learned from some of the spiritual fathers who have come before me that God often does that to get us started on the way of Christ. He wants to make sure we know that we're really loved and get a good foundation to build on. Have you had those kinds of experiences? Did you know that you can actually ask the Spirit to meet you, to confirm, to witness to your being a child of God? This is part of what the Spirit does as the advocate, the helper, to use the kind of language from John's gospel from a few weeks ago when Pastor Peter preached from John's gospel. The Spirit's the advocate, the helper as well, the one who comes alongside us to encourage us. Paul fills out this encouragement of the Spirit bearing witness to our experience in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. And I'm going to use my bookmark to go there. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. You can listen along or just take notes and go there later. Paul says, in him, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So in other words, when you became a believer, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So two key parts. The Spirit is described as a seal and the guarantee of our inheritance. First, let's start off with seal. And by seal, I don't mean our. And I'm being a little silly there, but I need to go there because when we think of seals, that's where our mind goes. But in the ancient world, seals were all over the place. And by seal, I mean it was something that was sealed. They would put clay on a letter or a delivery item or merchandise that was being traded or sold. And they would use things like a signet ring or a roller. I forget the exact term for it. I was trying to remember it. They would roll on it, and there would be a very particular seal on there. It would be a set of words or a picture or both. And it was a sign of ownership. So if I delivered a letter to Nick here, and it was just for Nick, sorry, this is what happens when you sit in the front row sometimes. I didn't want anyone else to know it, but he needed this key information for a business. If he got the letter and it was broken, he could know that the person who delivered the letter looked into the letter. But it was a way of showing belonging. And so God gives us the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of adoption, to say, you belong to me. You are my beloved child. That's why we can sing, Abba, I belong to you. Because he has first said through the Spirit, Son, daughter of God, you belong to me. We see this in the Jesus model for relationship with God as baptism. The Spirit comes down in a new way. He had the Spirit with him before, but the Spirit comes down in a new way. And what does God the Father say to him? You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. And so when we put our faith in Christ, and very often baptism is soon after, we receive the Spirit, and it's a way of saying, you belong to me. I love you. You are my child. And so that's what God does for us as the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He's also the guarantee of our inheritance. We'll talk more about this inheritance later on, what that means. Did you know you get an inheritance? Did you know that? But it's a guarantee of an inheritance that comes with Christ. It's the inheritance that Christ has as part of our salvation. And right now we have this new life, and it's glorious, it's good, but it doesn't even compare to the goodness and glory to come when Christ returns and brings about the new creation. It doesn't even compare to that. Earlier this week, we were talking upstairs as a staff, some of us, about heaven. We don't always sit around and talk about biblical theological stuff. Sometimes we're really goofy and joke around when we're, you know, just having some time connecting during breaks. But this time we were talking about heaven. And one of the things we all had to acknowledge is we don't get to know as much as we would like. We know a lot of stuff, but there's a whole lot more we don't really know. But here are some things we do know. Christ will reign over the new creation, and we will somehow partake in that glorious inheritance. When we go back to Romans 8, we're going to see that we are co-heirs with Christ. And so the Spirit is a down payment, a guarantee of that life. We can trust that the fullness is on its way, that we've just been sent part of it. Does that make sense? That's the witness of the Spirit that confirms for us, yes, I love you now, and I will love you forever, and there's more to come. So how might you and I need the assurance of the Spirit? Well, to answer this question, you and I need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be open and vulnerable with God. And I want you to consider this last year. How might you and I, how might the church, how might Christ specific need the assurance of the Spirit in light of this last year? In light of this last difficult year that we've had as we're transitioning back to normal, whatever that is, whatever our new normal is. Are there maybe one or two or three of you that might want to throw out some things that we might need the assurance of God's Spirit concerning His love?
Provisioning?
What does that mean to you, provisioning?
Well, we have some folks who lost jobs.
Yeah, so we need reassurance of God's faithfulness to provide. Yeah, good. Maybe one or two other people?
Health.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have come out of this where even if they haven't gotten COVID, it's been super difficult to have a changed way of life, and they need some restoration, maybe some healing. Good. Now, what's that?
Belonging.
Yes, because there's been a sense of separation, disconnection. Yeah. What does that look like in the church? What does that look like in the families? Now, the reason why I'm stopping to encourage you to do this is because the assurance of the Spirit comes when we stop and we're honest with God and ourselves and maybe one another. The Spirit wants to meet us in these needs, but we have to stop and take the time to acknowledge where we're at and talk to God about those things. And true, sometimes God's just going to break through and say, you need to hear this, and I'm going to push for you to hear this. But we can also take the initiative and say, God, I need to hear from you. What's going on? Reassure me of your love. I need to hear about what's going on. So what means does the Spirit use to assure us? Well, one of the key ones is prayer. And it starts with solitude. It starts with taking time to be silent before God, acknowledging what's going on in our mind and our heart, and talking to God, and taking the time to listen to Him to speak back. And I'm not great at this. God's working on me. He's trying to push me. Dean, take some time to do this. And He's pushing me more and more to do this. Because I'm in the middle of a super busy season of life, and God's saying, no, I want you to stop and rest. And so I'm trying to integrate more and more prayer walks in my life where I allow God to speak to me in those ways. So prayer is one way. Another way is Scripture, taking time to meditate on what Scripture says, especially about God's character, purposes, and plans. At the beginning of the service, I read from 1 John 3:1. That's a great verse to read about God's love. Just chewing on one or two verses, and what does God have to say to me about His love? You can go to BibleGateway.com, put in love, do a search, look at all the verses about God's love, find a verse, and just focus in on one verse. Or you can look across a bunch of different verses and study, what does God say about love here? God, speak to me about these things. I have some questions. I want you to speak to me as I dig into your word, as I try to really understand who I am in you and who you are to me. And then finally, there's God's people. There's the church. as we engage in prayer, as we engage in reading and meditating on Scripture, God wants us to go to one another and say, you know what? I'm really having a really difficult problem right now, Phil. I'm going to pick on someone from the third row. Phil, I'm having a really tough problem. Can you help me out? I really am struggling to understand how Christ's death can cover my sins. Or Tim, you know, I'm really having some issues right now, and I'm having some struggles. Can you pray for me? Can I confess to you my sins? Can you declare God's forgiveness? And God's Spirit is at work in that to reassure us. God wants to meet us where we're at. But it takes some time and some honesty to be open and vulnerable with ourselves, with God, and maybe with a safe brother and sister in Christ. And God wants to meet us there. He wants to reassure us of the affection of the Father, that He is embracing us still. So we've seen how God's big story embraces our little broken story. We've seen how God the Father embraces us in our broken family experiences. We've seen how God the Spirit reassures us as we have faith, struggles, questions, and doubts to reassure us of the Father's affection. Now we arrive at the difficult part of the passage and message. We arrive at the afflictions of the Son. And I want to tell you, I considered just not doing this part of the message, because the first two part, like, that's a lot there, God. But as I prayed about it and thought about it, no, this is part of the picture. This is an essential part of the picture. We got to go back to verse 16, because verse 17 relates to verse 16. Paul says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Yeah, the co-heirs with Christ part, that sounds good, but whoa, I don't know about the suffering with Christ part. What is that all about? Well, let's start with the Christ's inheritance. Christ's inheritance is an everlasting reign over God's new creation. And we somehow get to participate in that. The difficult part is the path to glory is through suffering. The good news of adoption in Christ does not exclude suffering. I wish it wasn't so, but that's what God says in His Word. And that's been my experience. There are some versions of the gospel, like the prosperity gospel, the health and wealth gospel in America, that claim that it's all about your comfort, happiness, and blessing. Kind of true, sort of. Yes, it's about comfort in the sense that God comforts the brokenhearted. He meets us in our suffering. But it's not necessarily about our physical comfort, like having the best car or the best new iPhone. And it's kind of about happiness, but it's really about joy. God actually doesn't promise happiness all the time. Joy is this deep abiding sense of wholeness, of trusting in God and rejoicing in His goodness and faithfulness. And yes, it's about blessing. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is ours, Paul says in Ephesians 1. But it's not the health and wealth gospel. It's not we're not going to get always healthy and not get richer and richer all the time. It's not getting better and better every day in terms of our physical way of life or our bank account. That's not what the gospel is. God allows suffering for us as we serve God. We walk on the same path that Jesus walked and includes the afflictions of the Son. It's suffering, then glory. It's not like goes, well, it's just everything's going to be great. You're going to be completely escaping the broken world that you live in. You're going to be completely protected. Nothing bad's going to happen once you become a child of God. Nope, that's not how it works. Because we are wont to think, God, I am suffering, therefore your favor is no longer with me. Right? Have you ever gone down that road before? God, am I suffering? Did I do something wrong? And yes, there might be times when what we have done has led to consequences in the world. But it is not an automatic thing to think, I'm suffering, therefore God is displeased with me. That is not how Scripture says it. Not at all. God's Spirit reassures us that Despite our sufferings, we remain beloved children of God. Some of you need to hear that this morning for what you're going through. We don't fully understand how God works this out, but we can trust that promise that all things work together for good. Have you guys heard that before? All things work together for good. It's part of the same chapter of what we're looking at this morning in Romans 8. I'm going to go ahead and close by reading that. Romans 8, verses 28 through 30. Paul says, and we know that for those who love God, those who have been loved by God and love God back, for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the images of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Did you catch that? The good that he's talking about? It's being conformed to the image of his son. It's not just glory in the end. It's about being conformed along the way to glory. And there's a whole lot that we could talk about there, but I want you to see that two parts. Those who are called according to God's purpose. And Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. Firstborn doesn't mean he's born first. It's a title of preeminence in the ancient world. He's the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Paul's saying, you get to have the same kind of relationship that Jesus has with the Father. There's so much we could talk about here, but I want to close on focusing how God reframes our sufferings as we serve God. As we serve God and face hardship in this broken world, as we serve God and experience opposition to our faithfulness to Christ. And by the way, the suffering he's talking about here, the suffering isn't if you do something foolish and there's consequences in the world. Because the suffering that Christ had wasn't that kind of suffering. It was suffering for living in a broken world and suffering for opposition to God and to God's kingdom. So sometimes we just mess things up and there's consequences in the world. That's not God saying, I don't love you, or God arranging that to happen. That's just sometimes we mess things up and there's consequences. Thankfully, God is gracious enough many times to cover those consequences and make them less. But I want to talk about those sufferings that come in serving God. God reframes our sufferings as we serve God in a larger perspective, this big story perspective, where he shows us how his redemption reframes our brokenness. And we have to do this with care. I can't go to other people and say, Karen, this is what God is doing in your life. If Karen invites me into those conversations and I have the kind of relationship to speak into that, and I speak very carefully and very, very few words on that, then yes, this is more about God and my relationship with God, and what is God going to speak into for my life? And sometimes God's going to give us the answers, some big answers. This is what I'm up to. Other times he says, I'm not going to answer that question, but I want you to trust me. Hold on for the ride. I'm at work, and you'll see what I'm up to. God's Spirit can show us the way in which he might use evil for good. That doesn't mean he's the author of those evils, but he's sovereign enough to use them for our good. And the reason God can do this is because he's not only the storyteller, he's the main character in the story. And Jesus is the hero. He sends the hero in the power of the Spirit to redeem us, to save us. God speaks and works redemptively in the world. He tells the story and he says, come on in, I'm going to invite you into it. Let me tell you about what I'm up to and how you can be a part of it. And so for this morning, I want us to take some time, a few minutes in prayer, to invite God to speak to us how he wants to invite us into the story. And the image I want to use is of a father embracing a child. A father embracing a child. I'm going to go back here a few with the help of our team. The affection of the Father there, the affection of the Father. Whatever image that is of God embracing, maybe it's just giant arms, maybe it's a close, intimate hug. What does that look like to you? And I also want to focus on how we're hugging God back, how we're embracing him. Maybe you're at a place where you're doubting God's embrace. Maybe you're at a place where you're hurt, where you are struggling to see God at work. Maybe you're at a place where you just don't have much to give. You don't have much to turn around to hug God back, and you just need giant safe arms to hold you. I want us to explore in prayer, invite God's Spirit to speak to us about the loving embrace of the Father. Can we do that now? All right, let's do that, and then we'll close in worship. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father in heaven, that through the Son and the Spirit of adoption, we become your beloved children. Friends, I invite you to picture God the Father embracing you now, a warm, loving embrace, affectionate embrace. And now I invite you to picture, if you can, you embracing the God who has embraced you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak, that you would be poured out right now into the hearts of your people. Lord, speak to us about what is going on in our hearts, how you want to break down barriers, how you want to bring healing, how you want to bring restoration, how you want us to experience more deeply the love of the Father. Friends, invite the Spirit to speak to you now, to begin this conversation. Lord, you are great. You are gracious. There's none like you. We thank you for your great love, your amazing, gracious love. Lord, we continue to worship in song now in response to all that you've done and all that you're doing, all that you will do. In Christ's name we pray.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpc.org.